Good morning. My name is Lori, and I'll be your conference facilitator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to Fortive Corporation's announcement conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I would now like to turn the call over to Ms. Lisa Curran, Vice President of Investor Relations. Ms. Curran, you may begin your conference.
Thank you, Lori. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the call. With me today are Jim Lico, our President and Chief Executive Officer, Chuck McLaughlin, our Senior Vice President and Chief Financial Officer, and Wes Pringle, Senior Vice President. A replay of the webcast will be archived on the Investors section of our website later today under the heading Events and Presentations and will remain archived for 1 week. During the call, we will make forward-looking statements within the meaning of the federal securities laws, including statements regarding events or developments that we expect or anticipate will or may occur in the future. These forward-looking statements are subject to a number of risks and uncertainties, and actual results might differ materially from any forward-looking statements that we make today. Additional information regarding the factors that may cause actual results to differ materially from these forward-looking statements is available in our SEC filings, including our annual report on Form 10-K for the year ended December 31, 2017, and our quarterly report on Form 10-Q for the quarter ended June 29, 2018, and in our press release issued earlier today. These forward-looking statements speak only as of the date they are made, and we do not assume any obligation to update any forward-looking statements. With that, I'd like to turn the call over to Jim.
Thanks, Lisa, and good morning, everyone. We're pleased to announce that Fortive has entered into an agreement to acquire Accruent for $2 billion in cash. This acquisition significantly accelerates our digital strategy to enable connected devices, software-enabled workflows, and powerful data analytics to maximize value for our customers. Accruent is a recognized leader in the physical resource management industry, combining deep domain and industry capabilities with an integrated cloud-based framework that provides insights spanning the full cycle of real estate, facilities, and asset management. Accruent serves over 10,000 global customers and ensures clients fulfill the mission of their organization by extending the life cycle of assets, ensuring full compliance and reducing safety risks. We're really excited about today's announcement, which demonstrates the continued evolution of our portfolio towards improved growth, increasing recurring revenue, and expanding positions in attractive markets. Accruent's business model, with more than 70% recurring revenues and high annuity cash flows and strong margins, makes the company a great fit with the type of portfolio that Fortive has been strategically building since our inception just 2 years ago. Accruent's SaaS sales have been growing double digits, and entry into this market provides us with a long runway for future M&A within the $7 billion total addressable facilities and asset management software market. The complementary strengths of Accruent and our recently closed acquisition of Gordian are expected to drive growth synergies and together are expected to achieve a return on invested capital of 10% by year five. Importantly, $500 million in Accruent, Gordian, and Fluke Digital Systems offerings advances our field solution platform strategy to create deeply embedded digital workflows. We'll turn to page four and Chuck will work through, we'll talk through the summary terms.
Thanks, Jim. In 2018, Accruent expects to generate revenues of approximately $270 million and adjusted EBITDA margin of 37%, with a strong free cash flow margin of nearly 29%. Following the close of the transaction, we expect the acquisition of Accruent to be accretive to earnings and free cash flow in 2019 and to achieve 10% return on invested capital before the end of year six. We believe the benefits of significant recurring revenues and SaaS sales and software expertise in attractive markets support this valuation. And when combined with future M&A runway and the complementary strengths of Gordian and Fluke Digital Systems, we are confident in our ability to deliver substantial returns over time. We anticipate completing the acquisition in the third quarter of this year and expect to finance the transaction with available cash and proceeds from borrowings. After closing, we will retain a strong balance sheet and have flexibility to pursue bolt-on M&A to further accelerate our strategy. With that, I'll turn it back to Jim.
On slide five, Accruent has the characteristics of a great premium software asset: highly efficient sales strategy, effective pricing dynamics, attractive pricing dynamics, and high customer retention. Accruent benefits from market-leading brands and scale, as well as a breadth of solutions across all use cases of facilities and asset management. The business's integrated solutions and significant land and expand opportunities enable cross-sell and upsell potential and a compelling customer value proposition. Lastly, the mission-critical nature of the solution drives customer stickiness and high recurring revenue. On slide six, you can see the benefits of an attractive facilities and asset management software market that Accruent plays in, a total addressable market of $7 billion. There are multiple secular trend tailwinds supporting this growth, including, as we've spoken, the shifting needs for SaaS and data insights, the increasing mobile workforce, and the changing compliance environment, all which ultimately drive high single-digit market growth. On slide seven, you get a view. Here's a view of Accruent at a glance. Accruent is a leading provider of facilities management real estate software with five key product categories, spanning the entire life cycle of facilities and asset management, powered by data analytics and connected by the Accruent Fabric architecture to ensure seamless integration across solutions. Accruent solutions are sold in over 150 countries, very attractive financial metrics, significant scale, high percentage of recurring revenue and SaaS revenue, with attractive profitability and free cash flow. As Chuck mentioned, you can see on this slide the attractive EBITDA margins, as well as the outstanding free cash flow margins as well. On slide eight, you get a view of our current portfolio now with in-field solutions. Accruent, Gordian, and Fluke Digital Systems are highly complementary businesses. Data generated by Accruent and Fluke Digital Systems will provide additional resources of analytics for Gordian customers linking various characteristics of physical resources with the cost of building, owning, and maintaining them. Gordian Data Analytics will provide Accruent customers with complete visibility into the cost of projects to maintain, design, build, and upgrade facilities. The significant cross-sell and upsell synergy opportunities through an enhanced ability to offer end-to-end capabilities enable significant synergies and a complete suite of solutions across the facilities and asset management software market. As many of you know, the way we think about businesses in terms of the independent operating structure provides, I think, a unique opportunity for us to give these businesses the ability to drive their individual success while at the same time sharing in the potential synergies opportunities that will exist within the platform. I'll turn it over to Wes Pringle. Many of you know Wes from our investor conference. He runs our field solutions platform and has been really the leader on both the Gordian and Accruent deals, and has really developed a wonderful strategy that is really playing out here with what we're announcing today. And I'll turn it over to Wes to talk through slide nine.
Thanks very much, Jim. Well, as Jim mentioned, on slide nine, I spoke to a very similar slide during the Investor Day presentation, but let me just ground everyone again in that slide. It speaks to how we're looking to evolve the businesses that we've had in field solutions for a period of time, Industrial Scientific, Fluke, and Qualitrol, and it speaks to moving from a core measurement business, which we certainly value and love that business, not only because of the revenue it produces, the margins it produces, but also because of the competitive advantage that we believe it represents, the workflow knowledge it grounds us in. But also, each of those businesses is at various stages of migrating into connecting those measurements. We can collect the data, shift more and more into analytics. In the case of Industrial Scientific, get into safety analytics, building out a platform of safety as a service, and ultimately, in each case, getting a stronger position in workflow software, where in the case of each business, we believe creates a very strong position for each of these companies. If you turn to page 10, this is certainly part of how we view these businesses coming together. On page 10, it really speaks to Accruent, Gordian, as well as, for example, Fluke Digital Systems and how we see them working together. I want to point out as I go through this, certainly as it relates to Accruent and Gordian, we value these businesses each on their own merits. Each of these businesses are in strong markets with strong penetration runway, with strong and building recurring revenue and strong customer loyalty. But at the same time, we see them together as creating a completely unique suite of products and offerings that we believe we can bring disruptive advantage to. In the case of Accruent, we've got a, we believe, a best-in-class suite of facility management, asset management software ranging from lease administration, workflow management, capital planning, and so on. In the case of Gordian, we've got a remarkable analytics platform and data platform engaging in facilities benchmarking, as I mentioned, cost analytics, as well as some very differentiated products helping with procurement. And then, of course, in the case of Fluke Digital Systems, we've got an asset management and maintenance management suite of products and tools which we are developing and have developed. All of those together, we believe, create a completely unique offering that covers a very wide range of solutions across the entire workflow for our customers. And that's one of the reasons why we're so thrilled about taking this step forward strategically.
Thanks, Wes. I think for all of you who know us well, you know that over the last several years, we've been positioning the business in software through our Fluke Digital Systems business and the eMaint acquisition that we did several years ago. It's been Wes's leadership and success in those deals that has really led us to the confidence to take on the Gordian and Accruent transactions, which we are incredibly excited about. And while we're talking mostly about Accruent today, I think it's also really important for us to really understand the sequence of events that we've had, and you can see that on slide 11. Fortive continues to be very active in reshaping our portfolio, with 8 strategic transactions now valued at $10 billion announced over the past 24 months when you include the Ultra transaction. Bringing together strong businesses exposed to great global megatrends has delivered a further compelling financial profile. On average, the companies we have acquired generate 70% recurring revenue, which drives high annuity cash flows and contributes a high single-digit growth trajectory. And obviously, the Fortive Business System is underlying everything that we do and drives our ability to generate double-digit earnings growth for our shareholders. What you can see here on this slide is really the deliberate work that we've done since the onset of Fortive. Many of you recall that shortly after we went public in 16, we took our board through a 10-year strategic plan in which we highlighted the opportunities for Fortive, the mega trends that we wanted to attach our business to, and the opportunities from an M&A perspective to deliver both strong inorganic and organic opportunities into the portfolio. And 2 years in, we're exceptionally proud of the work we've done and the opportunity that's ahead of us as we move forward. And Accruent today is another step in that deliberate strategy to build a better growth profile in our portfolio, more recurring revenue, less cyclicality, and ultimately expose us to these megatrends that and customers that deliver high-margin free cash flow returns over a long period of time. If I go to slide 12, the acquisition of Accruent really creates long-term value for our entire stakeholder base, our employees, our customers, and shareholders. It's an exciting acquisition which increases our exposure towards great secular drivers and furthers our digital strategy to combine hardware and software across industrial and facilities and asset management software markets. Accruent accelerates our portfolio enhancement work with high recurring revenue and SaaS revenue, and its financial and growth profile underscore our goal to continue to build a better, stronger Fortive. Today's announcement just represents another really exciting day for us. We couldn't be more proud of the work that our team's done in the 2 years to really get us to where we're at, and we couldn't be more proud of the work of having the Accruent team join us as part of the Fortive team. We're really excited to have them and the skill set that represents their organization, the platform and software experience and expertise that exists in the business. It's a real, really great day for Fortive. And with that, I'll turn it over to Lisa.
Thanks, Jim. That concludes our formal comments. Lori, we are now ready for questions.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. If your question has been answered and you wish to remove yourself from the queue, press the pound key. We ask that you please limit yourself to one question and one follow-up only. Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Obin of Bank of America.
Yes, good morning. Dialed in maybe a couple of minutes late. Just a question in terms of thinking about the long-term growth in this business, because I think that drives a lot of assumptions about returns in year five or six. What kind of growth trajectory should we think over the next 6 years? I think you said double digits, but is it low double digits, mid-teens, 20%, and what has this business grown historically? Thank you.
Yeah, Andrew, it's Jim. I think what you've seen, what you'll see in the business is we think that the market itself is growing high single digits. So wonderful. And we think that, as I mentioned earlier, the trends that are there, things like SaaS conversion, in a lot of cases we're replacing Excel spreadsheets and things like that. So there's a number of good growth drivers around that high single-digit growth rate. We think we could participate in that growth rate, and with the power of the Fortive Business System and with some of the synergies, that can go into the double-digit rate in the next few years as well. So we feel really excited about that. Historically, it's grown. It's a little difficult to pull together all of this because of some of the acquisitions they've done, but we feel good in the last couple of years. It's been a sort of mid-single-digit grower. So but certainly, as we mentioned in some of the prepared remarks, as you think about the portfolio, this high recurring SaaS business is growing double digit. And what's really interesting is the transformation that's going on in that portfolio and the move to even more SaaS as a percent of the sales over time, as a number of those sort of trends, if you will, we take advantage of a number of those trends in the business.
And just a follow-up question, I guess this math would imply meaningful margin expansion over the next 5-6 years. So what are the operational changes that you can make to the business in terms of cost reduction to drive this multiple expansion, or is it just leverage, and how should I think about it? Thank you.
Hey, Andrew, this is Chuck. You know, this is really a growth story here. Certainly, we'll always look for how we can run things, create opportunities, but this is with the high growth, the really high gross margins, and operating margins already. This is about growth for us. So that's the leverage you talked about. So it's definitely that.
No, I guess what I was, if I just stick in 37%, operating margins and sort of grow revenue through year six, I'm just trying to back into the math. What gets you this 10% return in 6 years? That's what I'm thinking about.
Well, you get to, I think, just to follow up on that, you get the SaaS-based revenues at higher margins, so you're going to mix up with better margins in the way the growth profile is occurring. That drives better EBITDA margins. You also have some pricing opportunities in some of those businesses as well. And certainly FBS, as Chuck mentioned, while it's not a cost story, certainly the team has already been doing a great job of getting more as they've grown and building the scale in the business, which is fairly recent. And so this idea that we continue to scale the business, I think through some of the initiatives that would be typical of running the business and, quite frankly, continuing some of the things they're doing, ultimately drives a higher margin business over time for sure.
Terrific. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Steve Tusa of J.P. Morgan.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Sorry, I jumped on a couple minutes late as well. What is the kind of estimated accretion for 2019?
I think a good number at this point, well, we're not quite doing planning yet, but it'd be high teens pennies of accretion next year.
Okay, great. And then I guess just as a follow-up on these multiples, I mean, is this the type of deal now that we should be, you know, kind of expecting you to do, more of, kind of extending the return horizon a little bit in return for, I guess, higher quality growth and a little less cyclicality? I mean, is that kind of the high level equation in your head, the 10% in year six as opposed to, it used to be, quite frankly, 15% in year three in some instances at Danaher. So is that kind of the high level equation, you guys are doing here?
Well, I don't think that, I think what, the way I'd answer that is since the, over the last 2 years, we've deployed over $7 billion, and there's a range of outcomes. Certainly some of them are what you talked about, the bolt-ons getting, they're well under three. We're averaging four. This one is, over five, but in, maybe 6 months over five. And we like the optionality to create value. So when we see an asset like this, we'll pay the market rate and feel good about doing that. that doesn't mean that this is what you would expect everyone. We look at the funnel. There's still a lot of things in there. There's just a range of sizes and return horizons.
And you guys have been busy here for a little while. Are we kind of done with the multi-billion dollar deals for the next few quarters here? How do we think about what's left in the pipeline, at least in the near term?
Well, I think the pipeline, and Jim will probably, I'll let him opine on that as well. I think there's still a lot of very interesting things in the pipeline. However, with $5.5 billion that we've announced this year and still the Ultra spin, I think that then what we should do is, we'll get those things on board, and in the near term we'll look for you should probably expect us to do some M&A capital through the first half of the next year.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Steve.
Your next question comes from the line of Steven Winoker of UBS.
Thanks. Good morning, all, and congrats.
Thanks, Steve.
So just want to follow up a little bit there. I think you guys talked about the ROIC dimensions of this or even earlier if we start to put together the platform here in terms of not just this one, but Gordian together. And as you talk through the synergies, I guess it was on page 8 a little bit, I'm still trying to understand the pragmatic kind of day-to-day thinking. If you put yourself, 6 months or a year or more out, what does this look like in terms of the go-to-market? I mean, how do you actually take advantage of having these assets in the same portfolio?
Yeah, Wes and I could tag team this a little bit. I think first, we're really, if I were to contrast the two deals we've just done in the last couple of weeks, Gordian was selling into about $1.5 billion of market, U.S.-focused, North American, less recurring revenue, but great customer, deep customer relationships with a real backbone on data, real strength of data analytics, and a capability to really utilize data and a customer base that's utilized, who understands how to utilize that data. Now with Accruent, we get this business that's in a larger market, so we're now talking about a $7 billion served market. We've got the ability to help them globalize the business, so some of the synergies come through globalization. And obviously with our global footprint and Field Solutions, which is our most, probably our most global platform, we really have the ability to help them globalize, and you're really in a broader facilities management. So these end users who are somewhat Fluke-like in many cases, and that's where Fluke Digital System comes in, is that there's opportunities for the business from a customer perspective to maybe in some cases have similar customer bases. So the team, our process for bringing these businesses together is really an independent operating company. So there'll be three independent operating companies, but we know that the data analytics capability of one can help the others. We know the customer relationships in some can help the others. We know that the global footprint can help. So we've got a lot of experience of thinking through how to leverage that. And obviously, our 100-day strategic plan is how we sort of help the businesses kind of go after those opportunities. So hopefully that gives you a little bit of a picture of that. And maybe Wes can share a product line idea or brand idea where that might bring that alive a little bit.
Sure. Thanks, Jim. Yeah, perhaps what I would say just perhaps bring the co-marketing and co-selling synergy to life is, at Gordian, we've got a very unique capability in terms of facility benchmarking, primarily focused on higher education, but certainly, healthcare and where there are campuses, they're entirely differentiated in their ability to do that. And then with Accruent, we can combine that sort of a service with space utilization software, which helps people get the most of the facilities before they contemplate what kind of capital upgrades they might consider. Once they get into capital planning, there's capital planning software within Accruent that can help them do that in as effective a way as possible. And then back to Gordian, if they engage in that activity, there's procurement services that can help them do that in the best possible way. So the point I'm trying to get at is these are very different but very complementary businesses that we believe can bring a differentiated total solution. That's just one example.
That's really helpful. And just to follow that up, is the growth rate, as you've thought about it, that you've kind of laid out there, inclusive of benefits from everything from what you just described, or is that even more upside, or how are you thinking about that?
I think that's and certainly we've taken in our base case some of that into our guide and how we're going to get to double-digit earnings. But I think that as Wes and the team get into it and with the 100-day strat plan, you can always expect that we usually find some more upside.
Okay. All right. Sounds great. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Your next question comes from the line of Julian Mitchell of Barclays.
Thank you. Good morning. Just wondered if you wrapped all these various moves together, the exit of ANS and the various acquisitions, what's the kind of pro forma recurring sales mix overall for Fortive at that point? And also if you've started to think about maybe or seen changes in FBS as the portfolio shifts more towards software and away from that manufacturing and sort of hardware consumables model.
Good morning, Julian. So for the recurring revenue, we'll be north of 30%. When you put all of these pieces together and get post the ANS acquisition. And so I'm really thinking of a 2019 number there.
Chuck always reminds me, Julian, that, you know, when we came out, we said we'd have a 30% target in 3 to 5 years. We're at that target. At some point, as we get towards the end of the year, we'll start to put out a longer-term target as well. I think relative to FBS, you've seen the transition in FBS over a number of years to really very much emulate the kinds of businesses within our portfolio. So when we think about FBS and growth and lean and leadership, we really have been transforming a number of the tools in digital marketing, in software development, in sales processes and go-to-markets that are more SaaS-related. So we've already been evolving. As you know, our SaaS business, like in our telematics businesses, we've had for over 5 years. So we've been evolving the tools as the portfolios evolve. So we're in a very good position. Wes is already starting to have discussions, I know, with the leader of the Gordian business as an example to think about FBS. And we'll do the same thing here with Accruent. So the tools are very much, and certainly from the questions we've gotten around, the capability to run these businesses, we're getting great capacity and capability within the businesses that are becoming part of Fortive. And so the opportunity to really build on our portfolio with some of these experts as well, I think is an accretive talent aspect to Fortive to help us continue to build these business models within the entire Fortive portfolio.
Thanks. And then I guess just looking back at slide 8 and the way you kind of characterize this data and analytics, $500 million worth of sales, if we take that that kind of piece of your company and think maybe where it could be in 3 to 5 years with other acquisitions presumably added to it, what types of financial characteristics do you think this data and analytics piece should have, whether it's through cycle core growth or free cash flow margin or kind of working capital characteristics? Is there anything that you could help us kind of understand, you know, how we should think about that data and analytics business in the medium term?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the things you could do is look at the Gordian business, which is, you know, as we think about the portfolio today, the biggest piece of current business in data analytics is probably a Gordian. The opportunity for future is probably in the other businesses, and those are really high margin, sticky businesses. Gordian is a very already high margin business, and you ought to, you know, certainly accretive to our current margin structure for sure today. High gross margins, you know, 70-80% kind of gross margins. So very, very good business from that perspective. In many cases, it'll be add-ons to what our current offerings are. You know, so people will start to monetize that data once we've gotten the other parts of the SaaS solutions. Certainly, we're doing that. We're starting to do that today in the early days of Fluke Digital Systems. So they ought to be accretive and certainly wonderful cash flow from a cash flow perspective. So we would see this still early days. That's why we have confidence that the current business models within these three businesses today can continue to grow margins pretty exceptionally because of the not only of the scale that you get from the revenue, but also the business model we're still in early days of the business model changes, and those business model changes ultimately are very, very accretive to our current financial profile.
Great. Thank you.
Thanks.
Your next question comes from the line of Scott Davis of Melius Research.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning, Scott.
Morning, Scott.
We're just trying to learn what you, which, you know, the last four or five acquisitions. Now you give us another one, we got to try to figure out. So thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Okay. So, Jim, you mentioned you were in, you had a 10-year plan. You're in year two of the 10-year plan. Do you create a new 10-year plan? I mean, what do? You must be in kind of year six or seven, I would imagine, based on all the activities you've done.
Well, we will update the board as we do annually, and so we probably won't reskin the 10, but we'll certainly take stock of the progress we've made thus far, which probably isn't year six, but is ahead of where we were for sure. As you know, we have very high expectations for ourselves in this regard. We're ahead of those, but we don't get a lot of opportunity. We don't take a lot of opportunity to celebrate that, but rather to sort of sort through what we can do from here. I think that's what gets us so excited about today is that we brought in a very scalable business that has got a good track record of acquiring. And so one of the things we haven't talked about yet is the M&A funnel that we could have for Accruent, mostly small bolt-on software acquisitions that are very accretive. And so, you know, the ability to sort of think through what that'll look like and envision what the rest of that, of where we could take those businesses is certainly part of the portfolio discussion that we'll update on. And as Chuck was mentioning with some of the financial profile and recurring revenue and things like that, we'll certainly take stock of what that means for us financially. As you know, we're always focused on accelerating strategy. That's always been our sort of mantra, if you will, to use M&A to do that. And so we'll also continue to talk about how we can deploy capital to, you know, accelerate from here. But this really gives us a real good opportunity. We're adding significant served market to our portfolio today, which gives us a number of degrees of freedom to really think through more broadly about what we can do in a software platform in which to do it. So, yeah, the short answer to your question is we'll certainly update it. We probably won't do a new 10-year just yet. But we'll certainly take stock of where we're at and what the new opportunities are presenting to us and what that might look like for the portfolio over the next, you know, 5 years or so.
No, that makes sense. And you know, in that spirit, I mean, are there other asset sale opportunities that you would consider to things that maybe, since you've been able to onboard assets so quickly here, that maybe things that you wouldn't have considered in the first 5 years of the plan but may not fit long-term for you guys?
Well, certainly with what we're doing with ANS and Ultra is certainly what we thought was the major portfolio transition that we thought we would have out of Fortiv. At this point, no plans, but as we've been consistent with, we really like the way our platforms are running and what they're doing, and we'll go through their strategic plan season this year, and to the extent that we'll take stock of how they're taking advantage of those opportunities. We'll understand the competitive landscape and the customer landscape better to understand it. So at this point, no plans, but as we always know, things change, and we need to be fluid and dynamic and understand that markets sometimes change, and as they will, I think the only confidence you can have is that we will change appropriately when we see market dynamics change as well.
Okay. Good luck, guys.
Thanks, Scott.
Your next question comes from the line of Nigel Coe of Wolfe Research.
Thanks. Good morning. Hi. Just want to get back to the multiple, because obviously, you know, as you move into more stable, high growth end markets, multiples tend to rise. So can you maybe just point us to some, you know, kind of peer group comps that, you know, you've looked at to get comfortable with the kinds of multiples that you're paying? And then the second part of the question, which is kind of, you know, really, you know, the same question is, you know, the margins obviously very good, 37% EBITDA margins adjusted. But it's not uncommon to see software margins, you know, 50, 60% even higher. So I'm wondering, you know, as you mix up the business, as it grows, you know, can you get to that kind of margin level?
Good morning. I think, Nigel, I'll take the second part of that. In terms of the margin expansion, with these gross margins and the growth rate, we would expect to see the EBITDA margins rise from 37% with high single-digit growth. We're going to continue to invest in this business, but we expect to see margin expansion. We've noted that there's other businesses out there at 50% as well.
Relative to the comps, I think, you know, first and foremost, we certainly are aware of and study the sorts of transactions that occur in a number of spaces to be aware of comps. When we think about Accruent, we certainly think about it's very unique. It's unique in its scale, almost $300 million in sales, so it's with a scalable platform. We mentioned in the prepared remarks a little bit about the Fabric or their software architecture, which is a platform for things to do going forward. So I think that there's certain aspects of it that make it unique in that regard. But, you know, we focus on returns much more importantly. What can we do with the business? Certainly, Wes has created, I think, a really great vision as to what he and the team can do. So we're excited about that. So when we talk about returns, as Chuck mentioned, independently a very strong return for Accruent. When we think about it in concert with Gordian as an example, we're underneath the five-year, return 10% in 5 years. So we really very much focus on returns, and that is exactly what you said and what Chuck just mentioned. You know, it is good, really strong growth, high recurring revenue, strong free cash flow, and ultimate margin improvement every single year. So through the business mix, and just as you mentioned, software businesses have very high margin profiles typically, and this happens to be one of them. So we certainly, what we don't want to be is swayed by any one thing or think that one comp necessarily tells us anything. We need to get into the business, do the due diligence, and it has to stand on its own merits. And in this case, we feel very comfortable with what we can do with the business over the next 10 years. And we think the returns are just going to be outstanding when we look at in that time period for sure.
Thanks. And then a follow-up question. It strikes me that international, you know, driving that international mix higher is one of the more obvious growth drivers for the business. Do you think you've got enough channel strength internationally to do it organically, or will this primarily be an inorganic bolt-on kind of strategy?
Well, we certainly let me take the organic piece. This is Wes speaking. We certainly see a lot of opportunities to help Accruent accelerate its international growth. We've looked at the international markets. The international markets are meaningful in size. Their growth rates are in the teens, certainly within Europe, for example. Accruent has taken some nice steps in the last few years to expand their European footprint with some of their recent acquisitions. But, you know, our legal entities, our footprint, our ability to invest, we believe, and frankly, this has been one of the things that's been a reliable growth driver for us from a revenue synergy standpoint in the past. We really do believe that we can accelerate their rate of growth organically.
And certainly, you know, the team's track record on successful bolt-on M&A is already there today. They've done a nice job there, and certainly we certainly see one of the opportunities for us to continue with thinking through that kind of strategy and how we can continue to build that business through those types of activities, and certainly geographically will be one of them as well. And it's been less of a confidence factor for them to do that geographically, Nigel, because they didn't have the infrastructure necessarily to support that kind of thing. But now with both the field solutions and Fortive infrastructures in a number of these places, we obviously have the support resources, the leadership, and all that to be able to give us the confidence to do that kind of M&A successfully. So it certainly opens up another degree of optionality for the Accruent team.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Andrew Kaplowitz of Citi.
Good morning, guys.
Andy.
Jim, when Fortive spun out from Danaher, your long-term view on organic growth was GDP/GDP+. But with all these acquisitions, you know, they're going to average high single-digit growth. Obviously, you're replacing automation specialty, which had a little bit lower growth through the cycle. Is it time to start thinking about Fortive as a company that can grow faster than GDP plus over time? You know, is it a two-times global IP business? You know, any thoughts there?
Well, I think, Will, one of the things is we get everything in, and one of the exercises we'll do here once we get the timing down and a number of these things is to take stock of what all those numbers look. I think in the near term, it doesn't change it hugely because, obviously, some of these businesses are a little smaller than the rest of the portfolio, but we certainly see, you know, a more confident 3-4% kind of growth rate and even better probably over a longer period of time. So, you know, no line in the sand on timing right now, but certainly I think what we're doing with everything we've done, as we mentioned, the really $10 billion of work that we've done in the 2 years is certainly going to, we're confident that it will improve the organic growth rate in the next, you know, several years. So we'll update that here shortly and give you a view of that, but you can assume that it's moving away from any sort of GDP reliance and much more onto the secular trends that are going to exist in these markets.
Jim, that's helpful. And just I want to follow up on your comments on using Accruent as a new platform potentially for M&A growth. If you add Accruent plus Gordian, you know, on your existing business together, it does seem like you've developed, I guess, you know, what you're calling workflow solutions platform. You know, obviously it's focused on facilities management, but if we back up, is the goal to leverage basically, you know, the platform to be a provider across a spectrum of end markets, and what other applications could you focus on from this platform?
Well, I think certainly first of all, we think the independent nature of the growth opportunities in the businesses is very strong. So I think that's first and foremost, is that the ability for the businesses themselves to go off and really do great things is pretty big. We do think that there's some core capabilities in the platform architecture software that we call Fabric and the data analytics capability to do some things that all businesses can sort of take advantage of over time. So we certainly see those as opportunities, but I wouldn't necessarily, what I don't want to do is leave everybody with the impression that we need to build, we need to build all this out in order to necessarily go after the synergies. These businesses have the independent capability, and to the extent that they can share resources or share opportunity to take advantage of them, they'll do that. But we wouldn't think of this as these three businesses as an individual platform for growth. We still think of them as core part of Field Solutions. We've always said Field Solution was really working in industrial markets and facilities management and those sorts of markets. So this is very consistent with the original thesis that we put out for Field Solutions. And inevitably, there are some facilitation abilities that both of these most recent deals will do to give us some core capability. We're going to get a lot of data scientists, if you will, with the Gordian transaction that ultimately we can build off of that will help the broader portfolio, not only for Field Solutions, but quite frankly, probably for Fortive as well.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
You too.
Our next question comes from the line of Jeffrey Sprague of Vertical Research Partners.
Thank you. Good morning. And I guess it's really morning out there in Seattle, huh, Jim?
We're on the East Coast this morning, Jeff. We decided to be here with you guys.
That's good. Just a couple things, maybe back around to some of the arithmetic. I would assume there's no cost synergies per se, but the flip side of that, is there, you know, any particular new spending you need to do to stand this up inside Fortive, or, you know, to recharge the growth rate? I'm not sure. Just something in particular you need to do to bridge from the mid-single digit previous growth to what you aspire to?
Hi, it's Wes. The short answer is no. You know, we believe that we've got both in the case of Cruden and in the case of Gordian, they've made some very good investments of late to build for their future. Jim mentioned, for example, some of the work that's been done from a software standpoint with Accruent on something they call Fabric, which is really just the interoperability of their products to create an overall platform. That came at the cost of millions of dollars of R&D spent, for example. So they've been investing for their future, and we believe both of these businesses have sustainable P&Ls that we feel good about.
And then just back to the for Chuck, I guess, to the accretion and ROIC question. You know, I guess on the accretion math, it kind of depends on the financing costs. You know, there's obviously a lot of different deals and cash coming in and out of Fortive, and becomes a little bit fungible. But I guess to get to high teens accretion, you're just kind of assuming a kind of lost interest income on cash sort of financing cost. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's correct, and I think last week you heard me talk about you know, the net of all the deals, because I know there's a lot of pieces, and I'm just talking on the inorganic side, not the organic side, would be, you know, a nickel, and then if you think about this is adding another, you know, high teens, 17 to 19 cents. That's kind of what I'm thinking the accretion will be on an earnings per share next year. Although, you know, we'll continue to evaluate this, and then you add our organic accretion that we will expect next year to see what we will expect total Fortive to do.
And then just finally, also just then back on the growth, I think there was a couple questions on that, but there's, you know, there's only a couple inputs to the ROIC model. I mean, you know, if we do assume, you know, call it 45% incremental margins, which would, you know, blend the margins up nicely with growth, it still does seem like you almost need kind of a low teens top line growth rate to get to a double digit ROIC. Is that ballpark, or maybe the incremental margin estimate's too low?
I think the incremental margins maybe are a little bit low. I think it's starting at 37, getting into the mid 40s. But you know, there's, as you play that out at 75%, you know, gross margins, even with the healthy reinvestment that we will expect to do, you know, I think the margins will grow up over 5 years. We would expect to be pushing 50. These are really good businesses.
Great, thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Your next question comes from the line of Scott Graham of BMO Capital Markets.
Hi, Scott.
Mr. Graham, your line is open. Please state your question.
Hi, this is Katya for Scott. Sorry about that. Just one quick question. What is your expectation for incremental acquisition amortization?
I'm sorry, the incremental acquisition
amortization.
Oh, that's a good question.
I can follow up with you offline if you want to go through the model. We can,
okay.
We can take modeling questions offline typically.
Yeah, let's do that there.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. I'll now return the call to Jim Lico for any additional or closing remarks.
Well, thanks, everybody, for taking the time this morning. We hopefully from our from both our discussion and the presentation, as well as our Q&A, you can hear from Chuck and Wes and myself and Lisa that we're incredibly excited for the news today. We think we're announcing a very unique asset of scale that positions us exceptionally well for growth and margin opportunity, and to really bring great solutions to customers over a long period of time in markets that have great secular trends. The opportunity for runway and a creative bolt-on M&A, because of the large-scale attractive market that we're adding to the Fortive portfolio, I think also allows for us to be confident that we'll continue to build these businesses over time in ways that will be unbelievably attractive for shareholders. We're really excited. A lot of news here lately. We're very focused on the integration of these things. We're taking the opportunity here to talk to you today, but we'll get off the phone here shortly and get to the work of making these businesses an incredibly important part of Fortive in the years to come. Lisa and team are available for any questions, follow-up questions as you see fit. But thanks for your support and of Fortive, and we look forward to seeing you all soon. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you for participating in Fortive Corporation's announcement conference call. You may now disconnect.